New Zealand's leading health and wellness events company brings you the NZ Spirit podcast.
We are Nikki
and Franco,
the founders of NZ Spirit Festival, Resolution New Year's Eve Festival, and NZ Yoga Day. Join us as we reveal industry secrets, interview local and international thought leaders, musicians, and artists in the sphere of health, well-being, and personal transformation. Welcome to this episode of the NZ Spirit podcast. We are thrilled to be joined today by Tane Mete, this incredible member of the Auckland yoga scene, an amazing dancer, a trailblazer in many, many ways. Thrilled to have you on board and chatting with us today. Welcome.
Kia ora, Tane. Welcome.
Thank you, Nikki and Franco. It's awesome to be here.
Awesome. So straight into it, you're the first teacher up for NZ Yoga Day, which is going to be at Western Springs on the 28th of November. And this is an event you've done for a couple of years where you bring a te reo aspect to your class. Thrilled to have you. How does it feel? Like, when you started yoga, did you ever envision yourself teaching yoga in your native language one day, you know, in this like mass class?
When I first came to yoga, I never ever thought that I would be one teaching at a festival and incorporating culture, my own language, as a part of that class. For me, I was actually asked by a previous owner of a studio, I need you to teach classes and you need to go to training. And that was all I could think about, really. And once I started teaching and realizing that there is a much greater voice beyond me and that is a lot bigger than me, and I wanted to try and find a way to bring that alive that's authentic to me, my culture, and who I am as a human being.
Wow. Because you haven't always been a yoga teacher. Tell us that. Where did it all begin? Where did movement begin in your life? Because I know your story is freaking inspirational and I want to hear it.
It is, you know, it's an interesting thing. I mean, I spoke about this with a friend a little while ago, and as a child, I remember I've always been a daydreamer, you know. I was that one off in the corner at school, never attuned to the class, but off in my own world. And even as a young kid, even playing, even with my family, I was that child on the side daydreaming. But then I didn't realize that the daydreaming, it was a part of bringing to fruition who I am.
Wow.
And daydreaming is so powerful. It's something that needs to be cultivated. Let the children daydream.
Mm.
Let them grow their dreams. That hopefully one day will come to fruition. So movement, dance, daydreaming was kind of all in the one. Being from a Māori family, there was singing always going around, there were parties, there was a lot of aroha. So naturally, you're in that world. Marae, whakapapa, waiata, it's just in my DNA. And growing up with that, I was very well equipped with some support. I then realised that in my growing up, that there were things that I didn't really, in this daydreaming, there were things that I weren't aligning with. And that was, I was quite hard-pressed to find my people. And, I mean, I know my people. I know my culture, I know who they are, I know my whānau, my whakapapa. But I mean, who are the other daydreamers? I was a bit lost to find my daydreaming peeps. And I kind of found them in a dance class.
Wow.
They were the ones who dreamed bigger than themselves through movement.
How did that dance class happen?
Did that dance class happen? It happens through after school. In high school, friends of mine said, hey, you know, look, Tane, you should come with us. There's a dance class that's at 4:30. You should come along. And So I thought, sweet, I'm going to come along and watch you guys dance and watch you all. So I went to the studio with them. The teacher welcomed me in. And I was watching my friends dance. And then I thought, why are they going to the left? They should be going to the right. And so I pretty much quickly picked up, actually, they're doing the wrong steps. So already the teacher was thinking, hang on a minute, this little Māori boy kind of knows which way to go, but he's not even in the dance class. So she invited me back the next week, and it's pretty much history, really. I asked my mum a couple of weeks after, the teacher said to me, please come back. I think there's a space here for you. So I did. And then she said, come for free for the first few. And then when it came time and she realized that I was getting, you know, I was getting, started to love it. It was expression. It was that daydreaming coming alive. And it was movements, all very healing. And then she said, I think you should join, but this is how much it's going to cost, et cetera, and this is what you'll need. So I went home to my mum that night and I said, you know, I've got something to ask. I've been going to dance classes after school and I've been asked if I could enroll and be a part. It would cost this much. And my mum actually walked away. She didn't answer. And then 3 days later, she came back and she said, actually, yes, do the dance classes. So that's where it was all born. So I thank you to my mama.
Mama.
She helped me to bring my dancing to fruition. Yeah.
And you had to walk there, eh?
That's right. So part of the journey, she said, okay, cool. I will pay for your tuition. I'll get you what you need. You need to find your own way there. You need to find your own way back. Don't ask for a ride. You're not going to get it. And there I was thinking, well, that's quite a long way to the dance studio.
How much do I want it?
How much do I? Exactly. So, and I just went for it, you know, and it was everything that I needed, everything that I wanted, everything that it was expressive. It was, and you know what? My mathematics in school just rose.
What?
Because it's all about numbers and counts and backwards and forwards and equations and
You found your people.
I found my peeps and I found that little key that unlocked a door and I just needed to step through and get to the next door. So that was a starting of moving.
And dance has taken, you've taken dance to what, as high a level as I think Nikki and I could say, as high a level as you can get.
I was very, very, very blessed with dance because it allowed me to sort of live a wonderful life and sharing on stages around the world and doing my dharma, doing the thing that I was meant to be doing. And I feel that that was my my gift to the world, was to be able to express on stage and share dance and movement on stage around the world.
That is so incredible.
So it was a great start to a movement, a way to move,
Wow.
And then it flowed into yoga. How did that happen?
Yeah, and then, funny enough, so I went to yoga training and my great friend Jason Tapatu, he and Justine Hamill, they were teaching the program, the training, and it was through Power Living in that time. And so I wanted to go to Jace because he's a buddy, and him and I used to kick around on dance floors years before, and we did some dance gigs. So it's kind of like reconnecting with my buddy. And then we went through the whole process of doing my training and me learning a lot more about myself. And then it came time to present yoga. It was a funny story. I remember doing one of my very first classes because I went home back to Napier for a little bit and because I was helping to look after family and my mum. And I was teaching one of my first yoga classes, and I didn't have any Shavasana music. And I thought, wow, what am I going to do? I don't have my phone. I don't have any music. What do I do, you know? And I sung an old waiata.
Oh.
And then the students after class said, we think you should just stick with your own singing. And so I thought, okay, cool, I'll do that. that was my kind of little inspirational thing in a shavasana after my yoga class. When it comes to culture, it was another way to bring everything in together. And that's what I think was the starting of beginning to invite in all of me into a yoga class.
Wow. Mm.
And when you say find your peeps, when you were talking about dance, you know, when you sing Waiata, you're bringing in your ancestors, right? Bringing your other peeps.
Absolutely. My other peeps, my other allies, my other whānau, my whakapapa, my little guardians, my little pixies, everything, you know, and the other daydreamers that have been a great part of my life. And yes, all of that, Franco, it's amazing when we can sort of really start to step into the fullness of ourselves, that it becomes more of a reality. So, yeah, it was awesome.
That is so amazing and so unique to bring, to blend Māori influence with yoga.
I think also when you're in a yoga class where a teacher is really bringing their full self, however that looks for the day, you are given a sort of subconscious or inadvertent permission to do the same. Your own practice really comes alive when you feel that there is this resonance within the energy of that teacher-student dynamic. And I think that's why, like, we recently did a post, you know, who's your favorite yoga teacher? Like, you come out on top, Tane, like, constantly. People feel your heart, you know, people feel your journey, people feel your roots. And I think that when we go to yoga class, that's all we want. We want to be, like, reminded of our home.
You know, and there's something quite really powerful that you said there, you know, reminding of our home and to have an experience. And I've very recently come into that sense of providing an experience. When someone comes to a class, I'm happily offering an experience where they're not only provided with a practice, but it's layered. There's so many layers in it. There's spirituality, there's hawara, well-being, wellness, there's culture, there's waiata, there's so many layers added on top, and there's also so many rewards and releases in the practice. Sound has come into my classes a lot more, and I know that Franco, you play and you sing beautifully as well, and you bring all of that mahi, all that work, all that music, all that vibe in, and I'm slowly starting to find that within my own class as well, just relying on is innately right there, you know, as part of the experience. And I must say, I really do thank all of my wonderful peeps that come along to my classes and support me. As much as, totally, I support them as well through their journey.
What do you see the biggest challenge within the yoga community right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. What is the biggest challenge in the community right now? And that would be to in the community, everyone, you know, and it's interesting because out of the second lockdown, I started catching up with friends, and yet the world has been through something, eh? Oh my gosh. And so each individual person in the world has a journey and a story and has something to a various degree, either holding or wanting to release or share. And the yoga space is a wonderful space to be able to open that portal to begin an unlocking. So as a key part of yogis, there's a great surgence of a requirement, a need for practitioners and for teachers right now. So in terms of the yoga industry, there is a lot more that's building. It's changed. It's become a lot more virtual, but that's the way that the world has moved gracefully. It's not everyone's cup of tea, and it's, you know, we're lucky enough in Aotearoa that we're able to experience community face-to-face and homie now and all of that beautiful mahi, but there are still countries out there that are suffering, that are still in the lockdown. So if it means that there are lots of us that provide that yoga, that mahi virtually, well, that is the work. But yes, definitely it's changed. It's also changed the way people are spending money and the paper, the way that they are, what they want to commit to. But everyone would love an experience.
The human population has not needed yoga more than we do right now, especially with these in these lockdowns and these sort of confined spaces around the world. We weren't moving enough before COVID. Now that we're in our little radiuses, in our houses or a little apartment buildings. What's incredible about yoga is that you don't need anything apart from your body and your breath.
That's right. That's right. And breath, I know, right? That's, that is so much incredible discovery just in that very small, simple thing, the breath, but a powerful thing at the same time. So, yes, and there is a calling for us all that have this offering to share it and either come to the platform or go to a place or offer somewhere to allow people to experience it.
Yoga always seeks, in my experience, it's practice that's thousands of years old, yet it's still, it's being sort of revitalized now. And it's asking that, I think, of us now as well, right? It's saying, yeah, times are tough. You maybe don't want to be seen online. Yeah, maybe you're doubting your impact via a Zoom screen. But it's like, lean into now. Lean into being that key, that assistant that helps to open and encourage people to release or to feel or to show up and flow with what's required. I know you'd rather go to the studio or you're used to going to the studio, but it's like, no, what's asked now? And yoga, there's a lot of criticism around it because it's like, oh, we do it differently now than we used to. And, judgment regarding its tradition or the origins or how one becomes a yogi. Now, you've got enough money, you can become one. And I think that it's still persisting because its medicine is deeper than what we often think. And so, like you said, I love that. It's like a big challenge right now is to show up. And if you can, offer this in some way that you can.
Absolutely. And that's wonderfully said, Nikki. Thank you. Yes, it is. And it is that there are those that can access yoga and it's available to them more because of Wi-Fi through the virtual realm internet. There is some that will never be able to access it just because of their location. But if there is a way that teachers out there can somehow reach others that are a little bit less unable to be in a studio or an environment, to do some mahi around that and to offer that in some way. It is, and you're right, we've been called on as the healers to offer this medicine, and it is amazing medicine. For me today, I even had some great discoveries in a class just today. Because it's Movember month, it was unlocking. And I shared some things and I thought, oh, I really don't want to share that. But it released. I'm glad I mentioned it and I'm glad I mentioned what I did because it wasn't for me to, give myself gratitude. I've ticked the box. It's more to, because I know that there's problems out there with men who find it hard to express. And in my very minimal and powerful discoveries, just with one dristy point, it unlocked a door that I let flood open. And, I've got mahi that I've been doing, but it's a little slower than normal because I've just been kind of like just leaning into it a little bit.
Yeah, wow.
And, man, you know what? That is okay. I mean, we say to ourselves as men too that we must, be the providers, keep busy, have this, have that.
Yeah.
But there is something powerful in just and just leaning in, as you mentioned, yeah. you know, and the listening and the different types of nourishment. Maybe it's a little bit less for a few hours. Maybe yes. it's sitting, resting. Maybe it's a cup of tea. Maybe it's a meditation or a mantra or writing, painting something.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just saying, I am enough in this moment.
That is it.
Exactly.
You hit it smack on the dot. I am enough.
Yeah.
Already, right now, already. I am enough. Already. I don't have to do anything. Who's even judging me anyway? I'm probably my biggest judge. Give yourself an hour at least off that kind of circling talk, you know.
That's right. And that little sort of, that fierce wheel that sort of goes round and round in our own heads, you know. Give that a little bit of a break as well, which is epic. And given the time as well, I mean, I know, because I have been sort of, I do want to know what's going on in America, you know, and I do want to know what's going on in the world. So I'm like,
yeah.
So we're all kind of keeping our ears and our hearts open.
Mm. Yeah.
And because what's happening in around the world in a way affects us as well.
Oh, of course.
It affects the world, the global community.
If it's just a mind, if you're just drinking it or stationary or putting it in, because it is, it's got huge, huge, huge impact with us here, with the world, with anyone who cares about humanity in any sense. Actually getting up and going to a class or showing up on your mat wherever you are and allowing that energy to be embodied, to be felt throughout the system, to be sort of like moved through, where is it residing within? You know, if we don't clear that out, if we don't lean into that space, that's what becomes an ailment, right? You know, it's just stored energy that's really got nowhere to go. And I find that we have such a big problem with things like hip replacements in New Zealand, you know, like that's everyone gets one when you're 60 or 70 and you go to India or somewhere else. It's not the same issue. It's not.
No, sort of no. Right.
How we store our energy and how we process our emotions in a really suppressed way. That causes this kind of, and you can look at disease patterns and how with the influence of sort of health trends, things get way worse or things get way better because we store things in different places. I find this fascinating.
This is very fascinating. And I've been talking with a friend who I had breakfast with this morning actually, and she was saying that a family member is experiencing body pain and it's caused anxiety because they've lost their mobility and they haven't really been too mobile in life, and so it's come to the stage where it's really just compounded and stopped them from mobility. So therefore, anxiety creeps in. So there's yoga. What we're all expressing is that yoga is deep medicine. It is practice, breath work, listening to the breath, which is very, very simple, is a beautiful pathway.
And it's your time. Yeah.
That's right, Franco. It's your time. You know, it's your connection. It's your it's a wonderful opportunity. And I really, really, you know, reach out there to all yoga teachers and say if there's something that you can share with someone, you know.
Yeah.
Find a little way. If it's with your flatmates, it's with your group of buddies, if it's on the beach or inside, wherever it is, we can build those communities and make them stronger by sharing this money.
Yeah. Oh, you're so epic, Tane. Thank you for chatting with us. We are so thrilled to have
him. We love you.
Are we thrilled to have him on the first event of summer with your class? Last year we just had to have you back this year, and then hopefully again for Spirit Festival, having you teach there. I know we haven't talked about it officially, but just dropping that in.
And and what are we going to expect from your class this year at NZ Yoga Day on the 28th of this month?
You know what? I'm so excited about that class. I mean, out of two lockdowns, you know, we've hardly come together as a big major whānau and to a yoga expression day like yoga, the NZ Yoga Day. I'm totally amped for it, actually.
Yeah.
It's so cool. And what you can expect is And I don't know what to say because do I say it or do I not? Do I keep it a little bit of a gem?
Keep it.
But I think my offering is I'm creating an experience to share with everyone through culture, through reo, through mana, tāne and wahine, all of the realms, the atuas, the gods, the goddesses, and whenua, land, everything. So I can't wait to be a part of it. I'm so glad that I'm going to be back. I'm sharing a lot with people, and a lot of my peeps are coming along. And
wow.
I hope they've got their tickets. And if you haven't and you're watching, please jump on the website and go ahead.
Yes.
Yeah, that's nzyogaday.co.nz. And can everyone attend your class? Is it for everyone? People that have never tried yoga before?
That's right. Yeah, it's totally for everyone. You know, and that's the wonderful thing about when you're in a big group and a crowd and a festival is that you can just follow along, even though if you can't see me on the stage, there is someone next to you that's willing to give a hand. But just being in the experience of everyone being together for the New Zealand Yoga Day is going to be enough. So if you're going to lie in Shavasana and just listen to my words, fair enough, do that. But otherwise, looking forward to it.
Yeah, so amazing. Well, thank you so much. People wanting to connect with you, Tane, how can they reach out?
They can either jump on to my website, tanemete.com. There's all of my mahi there. I've got new events coming up next year. There's one event coming up on Rotorua Island in March 19th, 2021. So if you want an island retreat, come along to that as well.
Wow.
It's going to be beautiful. Wow. So looking forward to, first of all, sharing this at NZ Yoga Day.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you so much, Nikki and Franco.
Thank you so much, Tane. Kia ora. See you soon, brother.
See you soon. Ka kite.
To find out more about NZ Spirit, head to our websites, nzspiritfestival.com, resolutionfestival.co.nz, and nzyogaday.co.nz.